Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to call the September 9th Taney County Planning Commission public hearing meeting together. There's a signed-up sheet in the front here, which Bob will tell you about in a second. If you haven't signed up before we pick up the sheets, it'll be too late. Okay, Bob, would you please establish a quorum?
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Ready.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Rick Therese.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Ronnie Melton.
Here.
And Mike Schofield.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Would you please explain the meeting procedures?
Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all the cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site, followed by any questions for staff. If you wish to comment at the public hearing, a sign-in sheet has been provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. The public hearing shall be closed upon conclusion of the public comment. The regular meeting, which will be held 1 week from tonight's meeting, and at that time the projects will be reviewed and voted upon by the Planning Commission. The regular meeting is a public meeting. However, no additional public comments will be taken unless expressly requested by the Planning Commission. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Well, nobody has signed up to speak for Citywide Motors. Let's see, and that would be Mark. I guess we'll find out if the commission has any questions for you, and Bob will go through this.
Okay, this is case number 2013-16. The project is Citywide Motors, and the applicant is the Highway 248 Group, LLC, Dan Ruta. The representative is Mark Fitzhugh, and the project location in question is right here, and it's located at 1818 State Highway 248, Branson, Missouri, Branson Township, Section 30, Township 23, Range 21. The applicant, the Highway 248 Group, LLC, is requesting the approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the establishment of a pre-owned auto sales facility. And this is a copy of the site plan that was submitted. The background and site history. This 6.36-acre meets and bounds described tract of land is currently vacant. For a number of years, the property served as an outdoor sales location for Ben's Decorative Lighting. The applicant is now seeking Planning Commission approval of a Division 3 permit in order to establish a pre-owned auto sales facility. The current application was approved for concept on August 19th. In general description, the proposed Citywide Motors will consist of a small portable office building, and this is an example that was provided to us by the representative. And a gravel parking area for the display and sales of pre-owned automobiles on the approximately 6.36-acre meets and bounds described tract. The proposed hours of operation will be Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. During the concept hearing, the representative indicated that there will be no more than 30 cars on site at one time. The representative has further indicated that there will be no cars serviced on site. All of the cars will either be kept clean on site via a mobile washing service or will be taken off site for cleaning. The representative has indicated that the pre-owned auto sales facility will not be served by either a restroom or water. The representative has stated that the applicant does not wish for the pre-owned auto sales facility to grow beyond one or two employees. And we've got just a quick north, south, east, and west view. For whatever reason, it didn't highlight the parcel boundaries, so they're a little hard to see. In review, an existing Branson Municipal Sewer main traverses through the center of the property in question, right through here. However, the representative has indicated that Area-Wide Motors will not be served by a restroom facility. The representative is proposing to serve the Area-Wide Motors facility with a port-a-john. The City of Branson has requested in writing that the applicant connect to municipal sewer, thereby requiring annexation into the municipal limits of the City of Branson. Beacon indicates that the property in question is contiguous with the city limits of Branson, basically on two sides along both the eastern and southern property boundaries. The property in question is also traversed along the southern portion of the property by the Taney County Public Water Supply District 3 water line. However, the representative has indicated that Area-Wide Motors will not be supplied by water, or will be supplied with water via bottled water. The staff is recommending that a condition be placed on the permit requiring Area-Wide Motors to connect to Branson Municipal Sewer should a connection be established to water or a restroom facility be provided at any time in the future. Per the provisions of Appendix J, on-site parking and loading, basically auto sales and auto service centers require one parking space for every 300 square feet. And in this instance, the staff is recommending that the standard be applied essentially to the square footage of the office. The approximately 1,750 display area would function then both as the parking area and also the display for the cars. The representative is proposing to utilize the two existing accesses off of State Highway 248. However, MoDOT may require some modification of these access points based upon the new use of the property. The adjoining property immediately to the north is predominantly single-family residential. The adjoining property immediately to the south is Highway 248, vacant property and also some commercial uses. The adjoining property immediately to both the east and to the west is commercial. The project received a score of negative 16 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 33. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of sewage disposal, emergency water supply, and use compatibility. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from MoDOT and the Western Taney County Fire Protection District shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. Three, a current copy of the Missouri State Dealership License shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Four, if an on-site restroom facility is established or a connection is made to water, the property owner shall connect to Branson Municipal Sewer. If Area-Wide Motors should employ more than two persons, an on-site restroom shall be provided. Number five, the port-a-john facility shall be screened from the view of the adjoining property owners and State Highway 248 by a privacy fence. Six, a 25-foot vegetative buffer shall be maintained between the Area-Wide Motors business and the adjoining residences to the north. Seven, parking shall be provided in compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. 8 normal business hours of operation shall be Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. 9, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials other than automobiles. 10, this decision is subject to all existing easements. 11, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. 12, prior to the issuance of Division 2 certificates of conformance, the developer shall first present a certificate of occupancy from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District. 13, all light sources within the facility shall be arranged so that no direct illumination leaves the site toward adjacent residential areas or any roadways. And 14, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a really brief video here. And this is the front part of the property in question. And did just a quick 360 here. And essentially the sewer main would lie down in this low-lying area here and kind of go across the back, you know, the back side of the property there.
Mark, I see here number 8 on that list. I don't know if you got one of these or not. We'll probably provide you with one. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., are you comfortable with that for business hours?
Well, that's what I said. I was going to maybe winter hours be a little different than summer hours, but I'd get approval if we needed to change the hours.
Okay.
If that would be a problem, it's not a problem, but...
Okay, well, you were the one that came up with the 8 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
That's my question. Commission, have any questions for Mark?
You don't think it'll need to be any later than that? Now's the time. I mean, if we need to make it now.
But you could close earlier than that?
You can.
Yeah.
Your hours are set for you, but if you want to go later than that, there's other businesses around there. O'Reilly's is open till 8 or 9.
Let's do 8 till 8.
Okay.
And you don't plan on going back over the back of the hill at all. You're going to stay right up on the front.
Right.
So there's not going to be any problem with vegetation on the on residents.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I'd like to know what the problem is with hooking onto the sewer system and putting in a restroom for a commercial operation. I don't think we ought to be approving any projects that are for commercial or Division 3 without, where people's going to be involved without having some restroom facilities.
Well, it's just the expense of connecting and then having to pave the parking lot instead of leave it a number of expenses for just a little old car lot, which a lot of small little car lots that doesn't have public restrooms.
Well, what's going to be these two employees?
Well,
what
I'm
going to be doing.
I'm one of them, and Branson USA Realty is a quarter mile away, and that's an affiliate, and we would use their facilities if needed.
And you are going to have a porta potty on
I hadn't planned on that, but we can do that. And we could build a privacy fence around it at the back of the office or something, too.
Well, if you got an employee there from 8 to 8, you'd almost need some kind of facility.
Well, are you going to be dealing with people coming looking for cars?
Or yes, sir.
Bringing them in or out?
Yes, sir.
And you're not going to have any restroom for them?
Wasn't planning on it.
Well, I sure think you need it. I can't see us in this day and time approving a business commercial operation that doesn't offer a restroom. And I can't see your other business neighbor there being very happy with you running people next door to use our restrooms all the time.
Yeah, wouldn't be good.
I don't think you ought to put them in that position.
Well, it's just like I said, at the expense for a small car lot, we have to connect it, and it won't happen. We're just trying to improve the property and do some landscaping and stuff like that because it's been vacant for so long. And really, other than that top part right there, the rest is useless. So there's not a lot of businesses that can be there anyway because of the parking situation and stuff.
Well, I'd like to see you improve it a little bit more and put a restroom facility in for your employees and the people that's come and look at your cars and dealing with them.
I understand that people come to look at cars and having to deal with it, but my father-in-law would be the only other person there working with me, and I figured we could handle it because we've done it before.
But you don't have anything for anybody else coming looking at cars, any of your customers?
Well, you go a lot of places where it says no public restroom.
And you go a lot of places where they got signs up that's for their business and no other outside.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing more and more of those every day. And I don't think we'll ever be establishing that kind of an operation. Is there any requirement by the sewer department for a commercial operation to have any kind of restrooms?
I kept, and it's kind of a tough one because the on-site inspections used to lie with the regional sewer district, and that's basically when the sewer district split from the county, when they became two separate entities. It basically falls under the health department. Now, one of the things that the DNR expressed is they really expressed to me that. And I'm drawing a blank on the name of the funds, but the funds that were utilized, I believe they're SRF funds, that were utilized to construct a lot of these sewer lines initially, that there really should have been an agreement that anybody that was going to develop on a particular parcel that had sewer, that essentially they would connect.
The problem I see with connecting to sewer is not connecting to the sewer, but turning it into a Branson-controlled property. It's going to end up not in the county any further. And that's what they're trying to say is if they go ahead and get zoned in Branson, it's going to be under Branson's rules and regulations, which will require the taxes, the parking lot area, the bathroom,
the office will have to
be. Everything will be totally different.
Yes, and it will
do
be.
We have any problems with the way it's stated here, the way you have it set up? I mean, if you adhere to the way you have the recommendations made?
Really, the way, the reason I took the approach I did is during the concept hearing, it seemed to be the consensus of the membership that was present that we proceed. Nobody... We did have another proposal to the west that was actually referred to the city of Branson, this property immediately to the west. But it was referred at the concept hearing, and so since this one had gone beyond the concept, I didn't know if the Planning Commission basically at least the membership that was present if the consensus. You know, if there had been that consensus, basically.
I don't know. I don't think we have the authority to enforce whether people hook up or don't hook up. I mean, I know that Water District 3's lines there. I know right where they are. And I know that the sewer line runs in the back and everything. But But on the other hand, I don't know whether we have that authority to make sure that they do that.
Well, what about putting a septic tank in?
If it's in the county and it meets what the specifications on there, yes, they can. Ben Delgado ran it for years and years and had all those, whatever he had out there, all that stuff out there, and he never did have any restrooms or hooked up to any water or anything. Ran it for years and years on the same property. Mm-hmm. Which is, I'm not saying whether that's either right or wrong. Yeah. I'm just saying what has happened in the past.
Mark, you indicated that you've had other places like this before?
No, I've worked at places like this before. There's not a lot in the Branson area, but they're everywhere. The dealership license requirements to have the dealership license don't require a restroom. They require a landline phone, a fax machine, and a sign stating your hours and a couple of different things like that.
Okay.
I think if you give me about 5 minutes, I could name you about six other car lots in the county that don't have any restrooms or facilities. But I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong, but they're there.
I'm not saying it'll never be a problem, because at some point it will. Someone's going to have to use the restroom while they're buying a car. But I think that would be, I don't think it would happen that much.
You do agree to the porta potty and enclosing it in a fence to where nobody can see it and that kind of thing?
Absolutely.
What about a septic system? You wouldn't have to comply with telephone and all that if you put a septic tank in.
Well, you have to comply with the telephone thing for the dealership license, not the permit.
Well, I think there ought to be a sewer system of some kind in there. I just can't see it this day and time. That's proven commercial operation without a sewer system for the public. They're going to patronize it.
Well, hopefully the whole idea and the concept works, but it's a big expense if you put 30 cars out there. And fortunately, I represent the owner of the property, so we're not leasing it or anything. But if it doesn't work, we don't want to have all that expense and then the septic sitting there for another 10 or 12 years with the property being empty and not any usage. If a restaurant or something, property's for sale right now. If a restaurant or something decides to put more fill in that back area and extend that top area where they could actually make the property useful, then I'm sure you'd sell it and then we wouldn't have a parking lot there, but wouldn't want to have a septic tank to dig up either.
Imagine it'd be pretty hard looking at that ground to put a septic tank in there.
I don't think it would park anyway.
Yeah,
it's Phil.
Myself. That's what I was thinking. That whole
I would rather see a porta potty
in there than enclosed,
is to have a septic tank sitting there.
Yeah.
Now, if we went all the way and we spent millions of dollars and did something a little more extravagant, I would see mandatory hooking to the city.
Well, if you put a restaurant or some other viable business like that has a larger turnover of people on the property and a smaller amount of given time, well, then you're going to have restaurants. We really don't have any. We don't have any rules and regulations concerning how many people it takes on the property at a particular time or anything, but it's generally accepted that if you put in a restaurant per se there, or you put in a filling station there, you're going to have to take care of the public, even though I can vow this, there is, because I've stopped at several with my wife, and there is still filling stations out there that do not have public restrooms.
If we put a car lot there and it was there for 30 days and we were selling cars like crazy, but some chain came along or something and wanted the property, Mark would be moving a car lot.
Any other questions? See you next Monday.
Okay, see you. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is Layton Auto Service. I believe the representative is Gail Layton. Gail or Kathy Layton.
Come on. This is case number 2013-18. The project is Layton Auto Service. The applicant is Gail Layton. And the property in question, it's a little hard to see, but it's highlighted right in this area. The property is located at 142 Bee Creek Road, Branson, Missouri, in the Branson Township, Section 21, Township 23, Range 21. The request, the applicant, Gail Layton, is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit in order to allow the existing permitted Layton Automotive Systems, Layton Automotive Service, to be relocated from its present location at 282 Wabash Lane, which is highlighted right here, to the property located at 142 Bee Creek Road, Branson, Missouri. This initial proposal was permitted as a special use permit. The background on this, on November 17th, 2008, the Planning Commission did approve Division 3 Special Use Permit 2008-63, which allowed Gail Layton to convert an existing 1,680-square-foot building located at 282 Wabash Road into a commercial auto repair business. The permit, again, was issued as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit was issued specifically to Mr. Layton and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. Per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, the special use permit is also not to be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land use change applications. This approximately 9.8-acre tract currently contains both Layton's private residence and also Layton Auto Services. If the current application is approved, the property located at 282 Wabash Road will revert back to its previous residential use upon the relocation of the auto service business. On January 28, 2011, Lot 1A was created as a 1.57-acre lot via the replat of Lot 1 of the Staden subdivision. The replat of Lot 1 of Staden subdivision is included here, of course. The applicant, Gail Layton, again, is basically seeking approval of a Division 3 permit in order to relocate the existing Layton Auto Service business from 282 Wabash Road to 142 Bee Creek Road. The current application was approved for concept on August 19th. The applicant is seeking the approval, again, of a Division 3 permit in order to relocate this business. The applicant is proposing to construct a 5,200-square-foot building on the currently vacant site to service the Layton Auto Service. The proposed normal business hours of operation would be Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. And we've got just a north, south, east, and west view of the property in question. The Layton Auto Service business will be serviced by Branson Municipal Sewer, and the existing sewer line is shown located on this drawing, and also Public Water Supply District Number 3. The applicant has been in contact with both the City of Branson and Public Water Supply District 3 concerning each of the aforementioned connections. The applicant is proposing for the property to be accessed via a separate primary entrance and exit off of Stinger Road, and with a secondary access also being provided via this existing ingress egress easement, which already accesses Bee Creek Road. Per the provisions of Appendix J, on-site parking and loading, auto sales and service centers, again, require one parking space for every 300 square feet. Therefore, Layton Auto Service would be required to provide a minimum of 18 parking spaces. The adjoining property immediately to the north is single family, with multifamily residential being located further to the north. The adjoining property immediately to the south is Stinger Road and commercial storage and also a single family residence. The adjoining property to the east is Bee Creek Road and the Boys and Girls Club and also some single family residential. The property immediately to the west consists of Yellow Jacket Road, multifamily residential, and also vacant property. The applicant is proposing to erect a privacy fence between the Layton Auto Service business and the adjoining single-family residences to both the north and west. The project received a total score of 2 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 39. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of off-site nuisances, emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, and use compatibility. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following: sediment and erosion control, stormwater management, land grading permit for all disturbances of over 1 acre, utility easements and building line setbacks, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, off-site parking and utilities, a complete landscape and buffering plan showing the location, size, and planting materials for all buffer yards, both adjacent to public rights-of-way and residential property, and finally a lighting plan showing the location, height, and other specifications on the lighting to be provided for the development. Number 2, compliance letters from the City of Branson, Taney County Public Water Supply District Number 3, the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, and the Taney County Road and Bridge Department shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. 3, an opaque or privacy fence shall be erected between the Layton Auto Service business and the adjoining single-family residences to both the north and west. 4, a minimum of 18 parking spaces shall be provided for the Layton Auto Service business. 5, 5 normal business hours of operation shall be Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. 6, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 7, this decision is subject to all existing easements. 8, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. 9, prior to the issuance of Division 2 certificates of conformance, the developer shall first present a certificate of occupancy from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District to the Planning Department office. 10, all light sources within the facility shall be arranged so that no direct illumination leaves the site toward adjacent residential areas or any roadways. And number 11, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. And we've got a brief video of the site here. And this is the property in question. This is the existing ingress-egress easement and Stinger Road and the existing mini-storage. And just we do a quick 360 here. The Boys and Girls Club.
Okay, Gail, we'll see if the commission has any questions for you before the public comes up to speak. That way you might be able to answer some of their problems or their questions they have. Commissioners, do you have any questions?
I would like to ask Randy what he thinks about the ingress and egress on Key Creek Road, close to kind of a little bit of a corner. But he's going to exit on and off.
Check out the side distance, see if it meets your requirements as far as the road standards.
It appears to be okay, though, don't you feel?
Appears to be, but we can check that. The ingress egress, that's for the resident behind this property?
No. Mm-hmm. It is?
Yeah, it's an easement for the folks that live back
to drive
the
straight
west.
Through your business to get
yeah.
out.
Yeah, that's all on the property.
Oh.
It's an access there, yeah, to the property also. But that's where the sewer line is. It's down
yeah,
the middle of that.
Here it is on the plan.
I saw it there, but I didn't know we were going to use that for the residents behind.
That's what, yeah, they want to, I wasn't going to bother them on any of that. I'd visited with them a long time ago, and I mean, they could come in a different way, but the guy's mother, she kind of didn't want to incline or nothing to drive up in there, so I said, I'm not going to bother that anyway. If you're going to keep coming across that, it's fine with me. The only thing I thought I would do up there like that is make that wider right there where they go in. But I also want an access right in here too, and maybe I might even want another one off of it to go in and out there. But
so that's going to be the back of your business there?
Where now, the business is going to face south.
Stinger
the building's going to, yeah, it's going to face Stinger Road.
That'll just be the back of your building. Do you plan to do any parking of cars and stuff behind your building? Or
I'm hoping to have enough room. At least I want to be able to drive between. I'm not going to bother to disturb this bank right here. We're going to have to work that over anyway for runoff on that. But if we stay away from that, it'll help handle any runoff off of it. But I'd like to have a little area just to either park my vehicles behind my personal cars behind the building, and then you'll have parking out here or over here or out this way for it. The building's going to kind of sit right in this general area here.
And you're proposing a fence between your
well, I don't. I wasn't proposing one up here because it's got a real heavy tree line buffer. I was going to put one here between this place and the property is what I was proposing. But I mean, if I'm required this up here, but it's pretty heavily buffered. I mean, as far as old trees and stuff like that, a guy might even kill some of those trees if you go in there digging holes to put posts in. But I mean, it's whatever you all decide. But I was going to put a 8-foot tall wood privacy fence right, you know, here between their place and the property. And then if there's anything like the dumpster, you know, like that outside, there'll be a fence around the dumpster to where you can't see that, the trash dumpster or anything like that. But I mean, my waste oils, antifreeze, stuff like that's going to be inside the building in barrels. It'll be picked up by a company to haul off. My plans are it's going to look nice. It's going to resemble either Branson Muffler and Radiator Shop or Jeff Langdon's shop. I don't know if it's going to be the exact slope, the high front and the low back. It may have a gable in it, but it's going to resemble those. It'll be whichever I can do, concrete parking lot or asphalt. It'll be landscaped around it. I want it to look nice. It's not a body shop. It's general auto repair. There won't be any wrecked cars sitting around or anything like that.
You have talked to the neighbor behind you that's going to have the egress through your property?
I've visited with him a little bit, yeah.
What is their feeling?
He didn't act like he had a problem with it unless they're here tonight. I don't know. That's what I tried to convey to them, is it's not going to be a junkyard. It's not going to have salvage cars or anything sitting around. It's just to repair automobiles mechanical-wise. And like I say, it won't be a body shop, so there won't be any wrecked vehicles around.
I think we need a letter or something from them stating that it's all right with them. My opinion.
And would they have to enter on Bee Creek Road, or could they come out onto Stinger Road through one of your other entrances?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I mean, you've got people driving through your parking lot at all times of the day and night, and I didn't know whether that would be suitable or not.
Looks like you'd have to put a private fence on this side of that road.
Keep them, yeah.
How are you going to keep your property private on that?
Well, that road's on my property.
Yeah, but it's got to be open from front to back.
It's got to be open.
Well, I don't mean to put a fence across that. I just mean so far up there'd still be the opening for them to drive through it. I didn't mean
that. Yeah, but they'd be coming off of Bee Creek into that north entrance, and they could come into the backside of your building at any time if you ain't got a private fence on this side of that road.
Or anybody else could.
Yeah.
I understand what your worry is there, whether they can come into it or
not necessarily. So just those people, you're not going to be able to stop them from going in and out.
No.
But you're not going to be able to stop anybody else from coming in and out and going right into your property.
Well, it could be the same difference in coming in the front. I mean, if
right.
Closed,
absolutely.
So I don't see any problem with the road in the back. If he's comfortable with, you know, having
being open all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a problem with him driving in and out. I mean, there's going to be security on the place anyway. I'm not, you know, there may be the possibility you get broke into with security. I mean, it happens all the time, but I mean, I'm not worried about them.
Do they have an easement, a written easement through that property, through your property?
I think, I'm pretty sure that is an easement.
And it shows on the plat.
I did see that on the plat.
Yeah, it shows as a 20 foot wide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stinger is supposed to be an access easement, according to Vern Lewis and Craig Kessner at Liberty Bank that own it. That's what they have told me. This is a platted easement for these properties through here.
Yeah, it shows on our paperwork that that's a Stinger Road, 50-foot road.
Yeah. With it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to put up something that looks junky. I want something I'm proud of, and everybody else, you know, when they pull up, they want it.
Any other questions for Gil? Okay, Gil, if you'll keep yourself available, we'll let the public have their input in it now. Brian Wade.
Yes, sir. Brian Wade, it's good to see some of y'all again. I haven't seen you since, the Forsyth High School?
Yeah, don't go there.
Good to see you. Tonight, I'm speaking on behalf of Bee Creek Partners, and they are the developers of the residential property to the west, which are the Bee Creek Apartments, and there's some 224 units, and there's some folks here that live out there, and they're all in opposite. I don't think they've all signed up out of convenience to you, but safe to say that with a show of hands, those are in opposition to the Layton development. So we can see that. So you'll know who those folks are. But just a couple things. I'm going to introduce a couple people from Bee Creek to talk to you about some specifics related to the site that are more understanding of the layout of the property and why it's incompatible with the existing uses. As you've seen from Mr. Ashley's report, most of the property surrounding the proposed development is residential or serves residential folks like the Boys and Girls Club. What I found troubling about the property is the residential property that sets directly to the west with the easement across it. And I think somebody mentioned that there ought to be a letter from that residential owner, because that's going to render that residential property, the value of that property is going to be significantly impacted by this proposed repair shop, because that's the access to the residence through the property. And I think that it makes some sense that this commission make sure that residential owner be in agreement with the proposal. I understand from speaking to a couple of folks that person may have terminal cancer and may not be able to come speak to you about what's going on, and they have some issues with their health. I don't know that firsthand, but that could be a reason. So I don't know why that wouldn't be an appropriate condition if y'all consider this going forward. There are also some letters presented to you, I think, in the last week from various residential owners that were submitted to you. And most of those letters, as I saw, related to their concerns about the fact that it's just generally incompatible with where they live and the value of their properties and those things. But it also concerned the access points that are being proposed on Stinger Road for the property. Those people that live there use Stinger Road to access to the west, the residential units and houses, and I believe, if I'm correct, and I'm sure Brett will tell you, that Stinger Road was built by the developer for off Bee Creek to provide access to the residential owners. So that's why that road's there, is because the residential owners are behind it to the west. There's not a very good site view off Stinger at that proposed location, and it's difficult to see. And they have some concerns about safety related to those folks. They think that that Bee Creek provides a lot of traffic down there, and then Stinger, if we add commercial development to that site, it's going to create some safety issues. I also heard some discussion from Mr. Layton about the buffering and the proposed buffering. I think that it would be appropriate, if you are considering approving this permit, that there be some substantial buffering to the west related to not only the fence, but maybe also some vegetation as well, as called for in the guidance code. And I think that also, if you're considering approving this permit, I think you ought to give serious consideration to the hours of operation, especially on the weekends, given the residential use currently. The other part of that issue, I think, is the parking. I'm not an architect or an engineer, but that easement area renders much of the much of the area to the north unbuildable. You can't build on the easement. So I don't know how far the setback will be from the easement to the south. And so we're going to get into an issue of parking, I think. And it may be adequate for parking, I don't know. And I'm not questioning Bob's calculations, the 18. But I think before you approve it, you ought to have some certainty that the 18 parking stalls fit and make some sense on the lot. I think Mr. Layton's drawing in your packet, certainly not drawn to scale, but maybe you, given the fact that it's all residential, maybe you requesting a site plan from someone who's going to build. I heard Mr. Layton say that he wants to make it look nice. I presume that's going to mean he's going to hire somebody to help him with plans and layout, which would require some drawings, I think, before anybody's going to build, move dirt, put a concrete pad down, those kinds of things. So I don't think it would be inappropriate for y'all to ask for a site plan of some sort, which would confirm for you where the parking is going to be and how that's going to work with respect to the easement. And with that, I'll be quiet, and I'll turn it over to the folks that are smarter than me to explain to you what their concerns are about the residential property to the west.
Excuse me, have they signed up to speak?
Yes, they have signed up.
Okay. Yeah, first one there. Oh, Brett Johnson.
Brett is he's the person who has the most expertise, or certainly more than me. It would make sense for him to go next.
Okay.
If that's okay with whoever else signed up. Okay. Brett, I guess it's okay.
And if Brett expresses some of your concerns, well, the commission has already got him.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, thank you for being here tonight. My name is Brett Johnson. I'm one of the owners of Bee Creek Apartments. Also in attendance tonight is Jim Walker, who is one of the other owners. As you guys know, we were in front of you not too long ago asking to build the 224-unit, $21 million development, particularly because of the need for affordable housing in Taney County. And I know that you guys are all very aware of that. This is our business. This is what we do. Typically, I'm on Mr. Layton's side of the room because not always are we the ones that are wanted in the neighborhood. But I think it's important that we focus on the continuity of that area. And Brian touched on that a little bit. You know, that is a residential area. And we did pay to have that road put in. In fact, we currently maintain that road. I named the road. That road is very vital to our business. And as you guys know, we're not very visible. Even though we butt up against the highway, you really can't see us. It's important that Bee Creek Apartments remains viable for this community. There's a tremendous demand for workforce housing, not just in Taney County and Branson, but all around. And for us to have to work around commercial development on our entrance is a big problem for marketing, and it's a big problem for apartment owners. And I won't get into a lot of the details there, but what I would like to do, I have some aerials, and we've actually rendered up what Mr. Layton's design will look like based on that site plan that he submitted to you. All right, Matt, thank you. I'm just going to turn it this way. Yep. The reason we had to work off a different system is our software isn't compatible with Windows. So pardon me for standing to the side of you like this. What we're going to do is we're going to zoom out from our apartments. And we're going to try and fly around without making you too dizzy. We are facing north to the top. And I took Mr. Layton's site plan, which was 130 feet by 40 feet. We have architectural software that allows us to draw things to scale. And I did the building as just a block. Obviously, it's 15 foot high with the dimensions that were on the site plan. We didn't have a lot to work with. But what we wanted to do was give some feel for what this development will be. And I know he asked for the ingress egress on Stinger. That's a road that I think a lot of the residents here today will tell you is important to them, not just for getting to and from their homes, but that's a home that kids are riding bikes on. That is where the school bus goes by today. We drove through there and the school bus was dropping off kids around the corner. I don't think we want ingress egress on Stinger for that very reason. Now, that does create some issues, because there is a corner up here, and if you've ever been up there, if you're trying to leave, it's difficult. It's not a quick take a glance to the north, take a glance to the south, and you're gone. You got to really be paying attention when you're looking north. So I know that could be a concern for this repair shop, because if you can't come out on Stinger, which creates dangerous issues, you have to come out on Bee Creek. So, you know, we realize that you guys are supportive of new business, and that's fine. We like that in all kinds of city government. But we want to be involved in this, and we haven't been provided much. We haven't seen elevations of what this building, I have no doubt that Mr. Layton wants it to look good. I know we were held to high standards on that. And if you haven't been up there to Bee Creek, I encourage you to go look at it. You know, that's a $21 million facility paying over $150,000 a year in taxes to the county. We put a lot of time and effort into our design. And we would hope that if you do consider this, that you take into consideration the surrounding neighborhoods. But as you can see here, what we did was we basically took roughly 24 vehicles. It's a six-bay, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Layton, it's five-bay. The site plan shows six. That's your drawing underneath there, and you can see the bay doors. And then I assume this is office and entrance over there. So, you know, looking at that from the top, obviously, there's going to be traffic coming in and out, and we are concerned about these two areas of ingress and egress, namely the west and the eastern one. And you can see as we scale back, we're 250 feet from our first building and our entrance. Now, we can always flash back to this in a moment, but I wanted to bring up something about this. This isn't just about the traffic. This is a noise level chart. And everybody here has been around a repair shop. And Brian talked about the hours of operation. We're pretty concerned about it just on a daily basis. But going forward, to have a weekend where it could be filled with impact wrenches, I know he said it's not going to be an auto body shop, but some of those noises are going to be carrying through. And we have, you know, an example here. If you guys are familiar with the decibel meters, we have
listed here, an impact wrench. Hang on 1 second, and I'll get back to that. I believe this is it right here. Oops, back up one. This is the current Mr. Layton's shop right now, which has plenty of cars. This was taken this afternoon. So we have no doubt that there will be vehicles out there. Now, I don't know if we have audio. Yes, we do. Now, these type of noises are noises that we're going to be concerned with from 250 feet away. Now, obviously, we could go through a whole litany of different tools that could be used over there, impact wrenches being probably one of them, just somebody using a ball peen hammer. That kind of stuff is going to be carrying audibly over to our tenants. And that's something outside of just the traffic, outside of what the building's going to look like. That's going to be an impact on 224 families here in Taney County. And we have to, as owners, as responsible owners, look out for their concerns. And the other thing that I'd like to show you, if it does get to the point where this building is approved, I'd like you all to keep in mind this is also our main entrance and our identity out there with the Bee Creek sign. We would strongly encourage the commission to not allow any ingress egress onto Stinger, and furthermore to screen that with some type of vegetation, preferably pine trees, something along that entrance that can keep that business separate from what we are as a residential neighborhood. And I realize that's a lot to consider, but you know, currently we're maintaining Stinger, and I don't know if the commission's aware of that, but Jim, you can attest we plowed that last year. And you're the plowing guy. We maintain that road. So for others to come in and say, we want access here, we want access there, it stings us a little bit. And we would like somebody to recognize the fact that this is a residential neighborhood. So with that, I'll draw back and let the residents come up and speak. So whoever's next on the list.
Let's see, Charlie Hoy.
Good evening, gentlemen. We live at 1628 Deep Creek Road, which is up around the curb and just across the road from where they store a bunch of the old junk cars and the wreckers hauling in. Our concerns is there going to be a fence between Bee Creek and the building, which it sounds like there's not going to be. And we've been by enough garages in the 70 years I've been around that I know there's stuff outside. And across the road is bad enough. Without somebody else building down the road from us and having more stuff outside, let alone the year-round yard sale that's about a half a mile down the road that's got junk out in their yard all the time. Is there an enforcement agency to take care of stuff like this that sits out in the yard? Is there supposed to be fences in between commercial buildings and residential buildings? I don't know the law, but is there? That's one of our questions.
Well, as far as the county does not currently have a nuisance ordinance. The commission did at one time, but it was actually an ordinance that sunsetted. But there are requirements concerning screening between residential and commercial properties.
That's our major concern right there. And while I'm not against a new business coming in on Bee Creek, we just want it to look decent where that it doesn't run our property values down. And that's basically all I've got to say.
Okay. Don Benson.
Thank you for listening to me. As mentioned before, there's 224 units in Bee Creek Apartments. I'm a resident there also, And my concern is, has there been a study done on traffic of how many cars are generated in and out of there a day? Because I know there's quite a few residents that have, you know, two vehicles, you know, so it's more than 224 vehicles going in and out of there every day. And we also have three and sometimes four school buses that go in the morning and come out at night. That's a concern, too. And we have a lot of elderly in there that it's not uncommon to have emergency vehicles in there. And the for them having access on Stinger could compromise that. And as mentioned before, to the north, the curve coming around, when you come out on Stinger, you got to look that way to make sure nobody's coming. And if you look back the other way and somebody's coming up over the hill, because the distance is about the same, and if you're not really paying attention, somebody's in trouble. And I'm really kind of surprised there hasn't been an accident out there already, and we're going to add more traffic there in that area, is really a major concern for the residents of Bee Creek or anybody coming down. You know, you got a two-lane road with a lot of traffic on it already. And I don't know if they've done a traffic count on there, but it gets pretty busy sometimes. And then you get all these people going in and out. So that's my biggest concern. I guess I did discuss the sight line, so thank you very much.
Yeah. Mark Lizak Sack. Or Mary, excuse me.
Well, thank you for letting us all speak tonight. I'm Mary Lissick. I lived in Forsyth for quite a few years and look for a nice residential place to live. And we looked at a lot of apartments. We found Bee Creek. And we were so thrilled, first of all, with their staff, what they do for their our tenants there, all the things they have. So I come from California, so I know what a lot of traffic is. But when you leave on that road, and like he said, you look left, you look right, you look left, you look right, and you take a chance on getting out there and not get hit. We've got all the traffic there. I don't know what kind of environmental thing you do, but you've got the school buses, like he said, but you've also got the Boys and Girls Club. And there's a lot of parents taking kids back and forth. And, again, I don't mind a new business coming in. I'd rather see, like, a mom-and-pop grocery store and an ice cream store myself. But maybe you could do that. Hey, maybe put an ice cream shop in there. But I'm just afraid of the traffic and what it will do to all of our residents that are there. It's a great place. How many of you have been there? Have you ever been out to Bee Creek? Anybody? Good. You all have. Okay. Well, just come out and see. Talk to the neighbors. And I know you'll make the right decision, but I would surely like to see some kind of thing about the traffic. Hey, if they're going to put this in, then maybe a traffic light. And the road on Bee Creek by that bridge is awful. My car gets out of alignment every time I go past that. So maybe you could fix the road, too. Oh, there he is. Okay. Could you do my front-end alignment for me? There you go. All right. Well, I do appreciate all your listening to all of us talk and take this into consideration. Okay? Thank you.
Randy, is Stinger Road a county road?
No.
It's not? It is maintained by the...
It's a public road. I would assume the part that platted, I don't know how far the public road, how far it goes.
I've not
I think it just goes to the corner in that part that's platted public.
I think we dedicated it to the public.
Okay.
I think that was the requirement, obviously. We didn't at that time, still at the time, we didn't own the ground it went through, but we were required.
Dedicated how much of it or what part of it to the public?
Jim Hall, it was everything. All the way up to, I can show you here.
Please.
Up to the lift station.
Yeah, up to the lift station, which is right at our first building entrance. station right there. So you've got approximately, I'm going to say, I'll tell you.
250 feet from the
plant we're looking at just shows basically, I guess, to the end of that second off there on the
yeah.
side of the roads.
So we've got 635 feet from Bee Creek down to the corner, right. And you've got 300, so about 1,000 feet.
Well, now, there's a public road in the two accesses off of Stinger Road that go with the property that Mr. Layton is proposing to build. That, then the accesses are in place, and he has a right to have the accesses, or is there any kind of is there any kind of discussion on that, or is it generally accepted that he has two accesses, or whatever accesses he wants by him joining the property? I'm unclear on that.
Well, again, you're talking to the guy that paid for it, put it in, and maintains it.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah, but you dedicated it to the
public. You're talking to the guy that supplied you water, too.
Exactly. And so our initial response would be, well, you know, if that is the case, we would certainly like a study done to determine, you know, what that's going to do to impact the already heavy traffic coming out of there.
Well, we don't want to shoot from the hip either.
Sure. So our concern would be, first of all, you know, properly screen. If it was our brothers, we would have that whole south boundary screen. With the ingress egress out onto Bee Creek. However, I don't think that's safe either. I think there could be arguments made that this is a site that's probably best left residential. Because when you look at it,
and I do have some footage here to show what the residents are talking about. This is coming from the northbound lane heading south.
And you'll see, I'll try and point to it when we cross it,
As we come around this building, which incidentally was the site of the accident that caused the death, and there's a motorcycle almost came out right there. This is a dangerous part of town. And as we come up, I'll pause it. Right around this corner, this is where everybody gets their first view of, I apologize for that stopping there. Let's see if we can get that back up and running. That's where you get your first view of the southbound traffic. Up here, I'll make it. There we go. All right, so as I fast forward, you'll see right about at the shadows of these trees, that second mailbox up there in the distance on the other side of that is where we come out of Bee Creek. Okay, so you've
got... How many feet is that, would you estimate right now?
I can do better than that.
Okay. Go for it.
All right. We're going to measure from that tree. About here. It says 336 feet.
And the speed limit's what on Bee Creek Road?
35.
Okay.
And yeah, I was going to say most people aren't doing 35 there,
yes.
But.
How many feet do you need? How many feet do you need for that type of angle?
We've got a table and a road standard we can use to go by, but what. Measuring it on there is easy, kind of an estimated, but
right.
there's a way of measuring that. You have to measure it where people
from the apex
are setting
of the corner.
The vehicle. You measure about 12, 14 foot off that white line back on the driveway, set up a target, and You drive until you see that target. That's if a perception is people pull up and pull out, what's their line of sight to the oncoming traffic?
Right.
And you measure from that distance.
You've also got the crest of the hill on the south side of the property down here up to our entrance, which is about 285 feet. So I can't remember who said it, but they said it's about equidistant when you're looking and you're saying, let's go for it, and you shoot out. You've got 300 feet roughly on average right and left to make up your mind to go.
But obviously Stinger Road meets the standards of the county as it was put in at Bee Creek Road's been a county road for a long, long time, and it's been widened and straightened and one thing and another. But when they allowed you to put Stinger Road in, then it met the specifications of the county as an egress-ingress point, right?
It did. However, at that time, it didn't take into account the commercial property being here, which potentially could have people coming out right directly onto Bee Creek, depending on the decision of the commission, or people that are making the turn and then making a quick slowdown to turn in here, which obviously can back up people back out on the street.
Well, I understand. That's always, yeah.
This is your site distances. This is from Tandy County Development for arterial two lane, 700 feet. For desirable site distance. And that's on table 3, page 84.
That's with the ingress, egress in the middle?
Site distance should not be obstructed at any intersection and should comply with requirements of table L3, type of street, arterial two lane, desirable site distance, 700 feet.
Yeah, so like 350 each way. How many pieces of property, how many rentals could you put on 1.57 acres?
If we went with the standard two-story design that we have there,
right,
at Bee Creek, we could get one building, which would be 16 units.
Okay. 16 units and two cars per unit. Yes.
1.5 is 15.
Yeah, standard. I mean, there was a man said most people out there have two cars.
Industry standard in my business, which is exactly.
So that's 32 cars.
1.5. Now, obviously, to do that, this is single family zone, I believe.
We couldn't fit a building on there with the setbacks and easements. There's no way.
Let's take a look at it. The problem is we would have to apply for a rezone as well, I believe.
With the parking requirements, so it would take, we get 8 units on there and probably the most.
That's true. The parking requirements, you're right. Now. And his building, 130 by 40. Our buildings are 160 by 50.
Is all your buildings currently full?
Yes, actually. I'm glad you asked. when we finished, it was right at the beginning of the recession, and it was a hard time down here, as you all know. And we fed the machine for a while and kept it going. We were running the gym at 70% up until about a year ago and have done literally everything. I'm sure you've seen marketing from us because it's everywhere. We did everything and anything, including television commercials, which we never do for affordable housing, in its whole. And we have a great mix. I think you can see from in here a good amount of seniors. I would say this is probably one of our higher senior populated properties, even though it's multifamily. And I know that sounds wrong. Experienced tenants are about 33%. And then we have a lot of multifamily, young families, single moms, a lot of workforce housing, and lots of kids.
Okay, and now, if Mr. Layton was to not use the Stringer Road at all, your main concern here is the traffic, the noise.
I think in order of impact to us, I think in order of preference purposes, aesthetically, I'm not that concerned, honestly. I think we can work around that. I think Mr. Layton said it. He wants it to look good. He wants to be proud of it. He doesn't. I think our main concerns are the traffic and the safety issue, number one, on the stand, and then number two would be the noise. And that falls into the hours of operation and, you know, the type of business that's going on there. And I take him at his word that it's not an auto body shop, but still, there's going to be noise coming out. People are going to be changing tires, and plug nuts are going to be coming on and off all day. If there was something that we could do, because I realize you guys have to generate taxes, and that's important for any community, but if we could be part of that decision-making to where this didn't negatively impact us. And from a marketing perspective, obviously having a commercial business on your entrance is a concern for any apartment developer. But we do have somewhat of a commercial development here. Although there's not people running in and out of there all day, it's storage, which goes along with the apartment sometimes, a lot of times. But, you know, with our main ID sign, this is it. This is all you can see about Bee Creek Apartments anywhere in the city unless you're at the site or it's wintertime. And you can see a couple of rooftops from the highway. So, you know, we have done as much as we can financially to improve that entrance, and we'd like to keep it improved. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm going to ask Bob something when you get done.
Okay. That, I mean, we obviously want to be good neighbors, too, and we realize that there were folks that were not in favor of us when we came to town. But I think if you ask any of the neighbors, we've lived up to our end of it. And we'd like to see those same standards applied towards anybody that comes in there, whether it's Mr. Layton or a Dunkin' Donuts or an ice cream bar. We would be here in front of you making sure that we protected our investment.
So getting back to my original question,
yeah.
Your main concern is the noise, of course, and the other thing is the access to the property.
That's first.
Now, had the access come off the other easement, what would be your feeling of that?
In the other easement, meaning up here directly on the Bee Creek?
Right.
I think that helps us a lot.
How many feet is from Stinger to that upper?
To that one? I wouldn't even think honestly, if we were to help make a decision on this, I think it would make more sense to have it somewhere in here rather than behind, or I guess you could tie it up. The further south you could take it, the better from a safety concern, my point of view, because you do have such a short amount of time. Remember, driving here from the south,
You don't want to take it too far south, you get closer to Stinger Road.
Yeah, I mean, and I mentioned that. It's like, you know, the best for us isn't necessarily going to be the best for this development, but it's also not good to have 2 points.
How many feet is it from Stinger to that upper road?
From Stinger to the upper road is 335. Oh, to this road?
Yes.
That's going to be about 100 feet.
About 600 feet total, 650, about 300 to the north and about 350 to the south.
No, from Stinger Road.
You're asking just from there to there, right? From Stinger, which is right here. Hang on.
100 feet, maybe. A little over.
120.
Yeah.
115, yeah. From point to point. You know,
so you backed off 20 foot, be 100 foot.
Tell that my adding
pull the site plan off real quick so we can see that. Sure.
An entrance beside this.
Well, why not put an entrance right here? Where people have time to get back out on the road and get straight and have stop signs. There's no stop sign. No way to make sure that there's no.
Mm-hmm.
Make them enter here.
Did the county put one in?
No, not on his property, I don't think
he
can.
No, he could put it up himself.
Yeah, but I don't think that would be the thing. I think he's the county. So the county does not maintain Stinger Road in any way and will never be, evidently, probably has
to
be.
I was going to say, nobody's petitioned for a Stinger Road.
You don't snowplow it?
No, they snowplow themselves.
You own the property where the sign says?
There's an easement.
Easement, I think. Yeah, there's a
sign easement on that property. Yeah. Property in question. Okay.
And that's indicated on the plat, too.
Right.
What if we had an easement or had an entrance onto Stinger, a single entrance, wide enough for the cars to get back out onto the road and get straight before they come to the stop sign and have the rest of it, like you're saying, a barrier, a fence or trees or whatever, all the rest of the way down the fence.
I mean, obviously, we'd have to see what you're referring to. I think what you're saying is right here at the corner.
Not right at the corner. I would want the entrance further down the street so a car could pull out, get straight with the street, and then pull out onto Bee Creek Road after stopping. We're not going to have a stop sign if we at the other entrance for the easement for the residents.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, is that about where you're talking,
yep,
where he has it sketched in?
Yep. And even a little further towards the west, maybe even, you know, because I want cars to be able to get in and straight so they can see how to get into that entrance or get back out onto that street. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't see, I don't know, six bays, I don't know how many mechanics you're talking about having, probably three or four to make it just yourself?
That'd be max, me and two others.
This is all we had to work with was that plan.
And see, half your car's going to be parked inside on the bays instead of parked out on the parking lot.
There's going to be any cars parked out front. I'm not going to have to park out front.
Right.
Well, you know, and that, I guess, is up for debate. You know, if the business is going well, obviously it's going well in the picture from today. There was plenty of cars outside.
Right.
And
we don't want, obviously, a used car lot or anything that looks like things are not moving around. And so that would be our concern.
But if we have the the fence, whether it's a chain link fence with the slats or it's a wood fence or whatever, to make it aesthetically appealing to your drive-by, to your units.
And Rick, you're talking about the south side, right?
Yeah, he's talking about right here.
Except for the entrance.
Yeah, I think, and, you know, again, I'm speaking for the rest of the ownership.
I recommend Andrew's pulling out.
Our preference would be to not see it at all.
Well, you've got to, if there's an entrance there, you're going to see it.
Possibly. If it were our choice, we would want, you know, 12-foot pine trees starting right about where that, after that entrance that you're talking about, and heading west. And, you know, enough screening so that as someone drives in, yeah, they see it right at the very front. But as they're going by, they're not seeing cars getting oil changed and all that. It's, you know, straight shot in. You know, for that matter, it could help improve our entrance.
Right. So start the pine trees or whatever we decide at the side, at the entrance on the west side of it, and go all the way to the property line.
We'd like to see some concept of that if this is going forward.
Right.
Obviously, we'd like to see the elevations. We'd like to see everything. But we realize this is all we got for this meeting.
Right. Well, I think a site plan would not be out of reason.
So you know what something like pine trees along there, because it'd be 30 years from now before.
I would think so.
Yeah. I forgot about that. One of our other concerning questions would be, you know, what type of signage does Mr. Layton propose, and how would that impact our monument sign? Will it match it to scale? Will it match it in style? Is it going to block it? Where is it going to be? You know, all those things are concerns of ours as well. And, you know, if it's just going to be on the facade of the building, that's one thing. It's going to be out there and lit up at night. Those are all things that impact an apartment complex.
Sure. Well, I think we can probably work those things between the commission and the two of you. I'm pretty confident. Because everybody knows Gail anyway, as far as a mechanic goes, so he's not going to have to be advertising.
Well, I assume he's a real good one because I got a lot of business there for him.
Right. Well, absolutely.
No, I mean a lot of business on this drawing.
Yeah. Yeah, but you've got a lot of business for him.
I see what you're saying.
True.
The reason why there's no drawings right now, George Kramer's going to build it if this happens. And we're just trying to decide basically which building I'm going to do, and George wants to come out and do some excavating on the property because right now I have no idea how far down I can go before I'm going to hit solid rock. And that's kind of why that was just kind of a quick drawing of what we were going to put up. But we need to do a little work over there first to kind of see how we want a building to be set, which style we want to put up.
I agree with you.
The easement to the house?
I don't know why you wouldn't have service
early on. I guess
the reason I hate to see any traffic going back out onto Bee Creek Road without a stop sign and a big entrance, to where the man's already got a big entrance.
We got
another big entrance besides that entrance is going to be more dangerous than turning off of Stinger Road, in my estimation.
That's why I would like to see, if we do this, an entrance back here further, to where you came into the entrance.
I understand your point. Yeah, I understand your point, you've got a valid point.
I think architecturally, we know that. Everything can get worked through for a dollar a month. There's a price on everything, pine trees, cedars, whatever. How do we address and what's the remedy for our noise concerns? Does Canyon County have a noise ordinance?
No.
Okay. Obviously, that's something that impacts 224 families, and we would like to see something in there that addresses that, whether it's operational hours or a combination of operational hours and, you know, decibel levels on types of equipment.
What's your quiet time at your facility?
Well, apartments are, you know, not a
you don't have a quiet
operation, so there are no hours of operation. They're 24/7.
But a quiet time, do you just tell your tenants, you well, party all night long?
We close the clubhouse and the pool. The latest pool's open at 10. But it's a totally different comparison because you're talking commercial versus residential.
Well, right, but there is a quiet time. And it's kind of after 10.
And we do have apartment developments where decibel and noise studies are required, and we can't go over 65 decibels. I would venture to guess that you're not going to see any decibels coming from Bee Creek Apartments at 65 now.
10 to 8.
quiet hours.
10-day quiet hours. All right. Would you officially have that as secret?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, they're not going to be running the same decibel levels we are.
Right.
And we would like to make the living conditions for those that saw that this was a residential neighborhood on you know, the original designs for this whole neighborhood. We would like to be able to keep that the way they intended it to be when they chose to live there. And there are things that can be done from a noise abatement perspective. You know, garage doors being shut, proper insulation, acoustical tiles.
Well, the building's not going to be open to your side of the property anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all going to be open to
the building itself.
I would argue that we will still hear that.
Inside, I'll bet you won't.
Inside, maybe not. But if there is, you know, doors are open and it's 60 degrees outside, we'll probably be hearing impact wrenches.
If you're standing out in your parking.
Well, we have balconies on every single one of these. We're 225 feet away from this unit right here, looking that way. Now, there's going to be all kinds of noises that echo through a building also.
Sure.
So it's not just the direct noise you're hearing. That metal building, I assume it's metal, is going to conduct noise.
I'd be willing to say that you're getting more noise off of 65 than this will ever have.
Actually, we're not, because we're so much higher.
Well, I've had friends there, and I've visited out.
Your traffic going in and out is going to make this as much as that.
If I may address that, this was a federal tax credit, or I'm sorry, a HUD 221B4 program. And they require noise studies, and we fell well under the guidelines for what they allow.
But you get plus 65 along 65 decibels along 65 highway about 20 out of the 24 hours.
If you're down there, yeah. But we're about 30 feet higher. And you can tell
from the terrain.
Oh, I know the property.
Okay.
Air compressors, Tim, I did not have on the chart.
Do you gentlemen have any other questions regarding this software or what we're showing?
Okay, getting back to my original question. Should Mr. Layton not use your Stringer Road, or would that be acceptable to you?
That's our number one priority, is Stringer Road and safety and traffic. Number two is noise. Obviously, that's a step in the right direction. Our choice above all that is to not have it. But knowing if it is going to come, traffic and safety, then noise. So, yes, to answer your question, not accessing Stringer Road goes a long way with us.
Okay.
And proper screening is, we look at that as one of the same things.
Okay.
How many vehicles do you think comes in and out of Stringer?
1.5 times 224.
In an hour of time.
Again, it's more, because it's not commercial. In apartments and residential neighborhoods, you've got that 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. traffic, and you've got your 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. traffic. And that's when it's going to be the heaviest. Now, with roughly 30% of our population there being senior, that can be at any time during the day. But on average, they figure, and this is through the National Traffic Institute, they did a study on apartments. High-density housing generates about 6.5 trips per day per unit. That's if it's multifamily. Now, if you factor in senior into that, that drops significantly because typically there's only one car. Multifamily, if you've got a family of three, they've got two vehicles or one and a half vehicles. But seniors, that number drops a lot. So to use the national standard of 6.7 trips per day per unit, we're probably below that. But we haven't done a follow-up study to see what this generates. But if you just figure 6.7, that's about what we have. Commercial, well, actually, to give you something in comparison, a single-family neighborhood generates 10.2 trips per day because a three-bedroom house typically always has two cars, sometimes two and a half cars, and they're moving to work and back and forth. So apartments, high-density housing, and we always have this when we're proposing apartments, they always ask, well, it's going to create more traffic. It's actually less than the density of single family.
So what you're saying is you're one of your fellows back there said about eight units would go in there?
16.
Depending on parking requirement on this side.
So you've got 16 cars approximately. Now, this is just using it for comparison and an easy comparison if we're going to use the 10. So 16 times 10, that's 160.
Eight units at 1.5 cars per unit.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Let's do that. So 1.5 cars times 10.
So you get that if this was on multifamily.
Yeah. I mean, how many cars are you going to have coming in and out of there, Gail? How many cars are you going to work on a day? 50? Well, yeah, but I mean, give me an estimate because you're working on cars now. 20?
Right now.
How many?
I would, maybe a dozen.
You also have to factor in employees.
Well, okay, that's three, and they're going to go out twice. Maybe for lunch, make it three times.
Six trips.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
that's 18.
I mean, we're taking, I don't know if his numbers are accurate or
not. I don't either.
Well, that number of traffic that he's using is already on Big Creek Road because he turns off to his shop behind Wabash Road behind the subdivision, and he's just due east of there right now by about 200 yards.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
But, I mean, if you double what you're working on now.
But it's not, what I'm saying is not going to change the traffic on Big Creek.
How many stalls do you currently have?
Unless he increases his business.
So he's got two lifts now, he's proposing five. Obviously, it's a lot more visible than it is where it currently rests in the back of the neighborhood.
Right.
You would anticipate that there's a reason he's moving here for business reasons. And obviously, it's going to be to get more cars turned.
Okay. I'd like to talk to Mr. Lake again if you guys are through with him.
Thank you.
He signed up too, so it's legal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gail, could you come back up, please? In your current business, how close is the residences to you?
My house?
I mean,
my house.
I didn't really look really well at. Can you bring it up where his.
My brother-in-law lives to the south of it, so.
All right.
I'm right behind the Boys and Girls Club. You'll hear the kids outside ripping around and playing more than you will anything.
That's right there, right?
That's the property?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make a comparison if you have had any complaints about noise before.
If I have, nobody's told me about it.
Okay, good. You're pretty isolated with woods and stuff where you are. So the noise factor would not be a problem back there. And would you be comfortable if not accessing Stringer Road at all?
No, I'm not comfortable with it.
Have you ever had a complaint about from your neighbors that live up on Wabash Road about your traffic coming to your business?
Mr. Commissioner, if I may address that, in 2008, this board reviewed a petition from that neighborhood, which I have on the computer, regarding the fact that he operated the business without having the special use permit.
When did I do that?
But you have got the special use permit at this time. So.
Yes.
Yeah,
I didn't. No, I didn't.
But there was one. Bear with me, I'll pull it up.
Well,
we really don't need to see
it. Mr. Johnson, we don't.
Okay. We don't need that.
That was probably from my brother-in-law.
It was January 12, 2009.
I did not operate the business until I got the permit. Like I think I told them a long time ago, I was born and raised in Branson, and I know an awful lot of people, and I've helped a lot of people out at home working on their cars from when I worked at the car dealership. So I've always worked at home, from home, off and on, just to help people out a lot, but that doesn't have anything to do with this.
Excuse me, Mr. Johnson. He has the floor.
Why don't you be quiet when he's up there talking?
Now, if we have any more questions for Mr. Lake.
Would you agree to accessing only?
That's what I asked you.
Yeah. I mean, you said you didn't want to, but...
If you got with your builder and got a design on this, and we really need to see something, too, before we...
We need a site plan.
...vote this.
Yeah, we're going to have a site plan before you can really get something down in it, or we're just talking apples and oranges.
I can understand Mr. Johnson's concern and all the people that live in the apartments back there about, you know, I know you don't intend to have cars parked out front, but people leave them overnight. And
well, I just meant that I didn't have any plans of any parking places at all between the building and the road. Mm-hmm. Because you want to be able to get in and out of it as easy as possible. No, I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I mean, yeah, I could, but I'd just kind of like to have an entrance to the front of the building. Which, I mean, I can still, but I want, if I am forced to come off of that, off that other easement, I want it widened a lot. I want it at least twice of what it is right now.
Well, from looking
you
at...
You need it to get in and out of there. You're going to need to turn in halfway. You don't want to have to turn in on that 20-foot wide driveway.
I would think that you could have your business with that one access off of Bee Creek Road.
Randy, how big an entrance would be suitable? I mean, he wants a bigger one, but, I mean, you could have a 50-foot entrance.
We've got a entrance guideline for commercial entrance off of the county road.
And what is that?
50 feet.
No, it wouldn't be that much.
28
feet.
Well, there's 68 feet across there for entrance, according to the plat I'm looking at.
Yeah.
There's also guidelines in there how close it can be to an intersecting roadway
right.
Also.
Right.
Because that would
impact it for sure.
Increase the problem.
That's why I would rather see it on steam.
Right. Yeah, you don't need two intersections that close together.
Well, again, that's not going to be a high-use road anyway. I mean.
No.
Yeah, but you just don't put two intersections side by side like that with just a few feet between them.
Well, there's nothing we can do about what's there now and the access to the house in the back.
Nope. Unless they gave up their easement.
She doesn't want to do that.
Okay, any other questions for Mr. Layton?
I'm good.
Do you think you'd be able to have us a site plan by a week from now, or are we going to have to table this?
I'd have to get with George and talk to him and see. I can call him tomorrow and talk to him about it, see if we can sit down and draw something up there. Maybe I can go down and see Butler down the road, Brent Butler, and see if he could work something up for me.
Okay. Yeah, George would probably take care of that for you.
He has all kinds of ideas.
Yeah. Okay, Bob, should he not be able to do this, is there a possibility of tabling this and for a vote at a later time?
The commission could vote to table the application.
I guess. Vote
we'll wait, you won't vote at this time.
You vote at the next meeting.
Exactly. You could vote at the next meeting to table the...
All right. Anything else to add, Gil?
I guess not.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. You done beating me up?
We didn't beat you up.
If you can't get the site plan, please let Bob know.
Okay, I'll get together with him. And see.
I'm sure you can probably get that done and see where we go.
All right.
You guys mind if we clear out of your way so you don't...
Go ahead. You leave me alone.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great.
Okay. Cardwell Automotive. Cardwell Automotive.
Okay. This is case number 2013-19. Yeah, should I let him play?
All right, let's go. Cardwell Automotive.
Okay, this is case number 2013-19. The project is Cardwell Automotive. The applicant is Charles Harris. The representative is Adam Cardwell. And here's the property in question. It's located at 122 Delaware Road, Kirbyville, Missouri, in the Swan Township, Section 21, Township 23, Range 20. The request, the representative, Adam Cardwell, is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the establishment of a pre-owned auto sales facility. This is approximately 5 acre meets and bounds described tract of land, and it's currently home to Harris Mechanical Heating and Air Conditioning Business. The applicant is seeking the Planning Commission approval of a Division 3 permit in order to establish a pre-owned auto sales facility. The current application was approved for concept on August 19th. The general description of this, the proposed Cardwell Automotive will consist of basically an 80-square-foot or 8x10 office building and a gravel parking lot for the display and sales of pre-owned automobiles on the approximately 5-acre meets and bounds described track. The proposed hours of operation will be Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., During the concept hearing, the representative indicated that the facility will display no more than 4 or 5 cars at a time. The representative has further indicated that there will be no cars serviced on site. All the cars will either be kept clean on site via a mobile washing service or will be taken off site for cleaning. The representative has indicated that the pre-owned auto sales facility will not be serviced by either a restroom or water. Harris Mechanical has agreed to provide restroom facilities for customers. The representative plans to continue Cardwell Automotive on a part-time basis. And we've got, again, a north, south, east, and a west view. In review, the representative has indicated that due to the part-time nature of the business, Cardwell Automotive will not be served by a restroom facility or water. The property owner, Harris Mechanical, will provide restroom facilities for customers. Per the provisions of Appendix J, on-site parking and loading, auto sales and service centers require one parking space for every 300 square feet. And basically, on the 5 acres, there will be ample parking. The representative is proposing to access the property via a driveway off of Delaware Road. The adjoining property immediately to the north is State Highway 76 and vacant property. The adjoining property immediately to the south is primarily single-family residential. The adjoining property immediately to the east is Delaware Road, single-family residential, and also vacant property. And the adjoining property to the west is predominantly commercial. The project received a score of negative 15 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 39. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of sewage disposal, emergency water supply, waste disposal service, use compatibility, and utilities. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Central Taney County Fire Protection District and the Taney County Road and Bridge Department. Third, a current copy of the Missouri State Dealership License shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Four, a 25-foot wide vegetative buffer shall be maintained between the Cardwell Automotive Business and the adjoining residences to the south and east. Five, parking shall be provided in compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Six, normal business hours of operation shall be Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Seven, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials other than automobiles. Eight, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Nine, Division II permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. 10, prior to the issuance of Division II certificates of conformance, the developer shall first present a certificate of occupancy, and that should be from the Central Taney County Fire Protection District. All light sources within the facility shall be arranged so that no direct illumination leaves the site toward adjacent residential areas or any roadways. And 12, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a really brief video here. And did a quick 360. Here's the Harris Mechanical existing business on the property. And tried to walk down to the front just to get a view from the front, as you would see this. The applicant, it's my understanding that he did actually put up some stakes to give us a better idea of the location. Unfortunately, I had to go out last Friday and film this before he staked this off.
Let's see. Hours of operation 7 a.m. to 1 p.m.?
Yes, sir.
If you want to change that, now's the time to do it. That seems like pretty limited hours.
I mean, it's only part-time. Now, my question is if it was 3 o'clock and I met somebody up there, I mean, does that change that fact, or can I meet somebody up there? Okay, so I can't meet anybody up there except for during hours of operation?
Yeah.
So then my next question is, if
somebody can complain.
Okay. And so my next question is, if I make the hours of operation longer but I'm not there,
don't have to open up. You can open up a day if you don't want to.
That was my only concern. Yeah. I wouldn't be there enough. That was why. But yes, I would like to change that. I would like to make it till probably 6 o'clock at night.
Any Saturday hours?
Yes,
asking, now's the time.
Yes, sir, that'd be, I'd like to do Saturday hours also, from 7 to 6, that'd be great.
And Saturday also, that'd be Monday through Saturday?
Yes, sir.
That looks suitable now, that'd be enough time, and when you come back to Saturday. 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do we have any questions? Okay.
Well, are you going to access off of Delaware only? You're not going to access off 76 and go through the Harris?
That is correct.
Mechanical parking lot.
Yes, sir. Well, you're not going to have those joined at all.
There's going to be a fence across there?
He did not ask to have a fence, no. But we were, I mean, there's going to be grass between the two. Our driveways, there's no driveway in between the two.
Well, there's a driveway now.
Well, it's all grass and grown over. There's no rock or anything. I agree that you could drive over it, yes, sir. But there's no actual driveway. But, I mean, can I say that I guarantee nobody will go that way? No, but, I mean, I'm going to have it gravel one way and not the other way and try to always have them go that way.
This wasn't a special use permit, right?
No, sir.
If it's not a special use permit, if you're going to have restroom facilities from a neighboring business, there needs to be something written in it, because... In other words, if you don't have a car lot anymore and it goes away, and somebody, I don't know, it seems to me like there should be something written up there.
An agreement of some sort.
Okay. Or I could...
It should be in the decision of record.
This is a commercial permit, right? Not,
yeah, this is a Division 3 permit.
Yes, sir.
We didn't look at that entrance you currently have. Is it going to have to be upgraded? This can be commercial.
Okay, such as?
Widening,
okay.
Could this be a special use permit, Bob? Well, why it couldn't be?
Hey, I'm sorry, I don't know the difference. I apologize.
If you go away, the permit goes away.
I absolutely would go with that if that would be okay with you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Special use. It's
I
only
think
for
you.
You
fall under that category very well myself.
Okay.
But that's why I brought it up. I didn't want to make sure what we were talking about.
The regulations would be a lot less.
And then you wouldn't have to write the regulation in there. Special use permit between you and the other fellow, and you go away, it goes away, and the restroom closes. I mean,
that sounds great. Yeah.
It's done.
Okay.
Can we recommend that?
I don't see an issue with it. I really don't. And especially
since
it
doesn't alleviate a lot of problems.
We still need to upgrade that
driveway
because it's going to be used as commercial, but who knows what's going to happen after this goes away. I mean,
Well, that looks like it's almost level pulling off of there. It would be,
is there any ditch there now?
Yes.
There is
a ditch. Yes.
So it'd need a culvert.
So it'd need a culvert there.
And as
I think that one was put in when I don't remember who owned the property at that time.
Manly Body Shop.
Manly, and they were needing just a rear access, but it wouldn't.
But that's a county road you're coming off of, and you'd have to meet county regulations on your driveway. It's that simple.
Correct. Yes.
It's a narrow road, so it's just not wide enough to pull up.
So you need to talk to somebody with the county. I don't know who.
Okay.
So we're going to change this to a special use instead of Division 3.
Okay.
I mean, isn't that kind of the consensus?
That's my understanding. And the primary difference, as they indicated, would be that if the business ceased, that use would basically go away. It couldn't. If the property were to sell, this approval would not go with it, would not be transferable.
That brings up another question. That whole piece of property is zoned commercial now.
Yes.
So why are we rezoning it commercial?
We saw it as a new use. I mean,
I didn't know. I assumed because of it being all commercial that it wasn't an issue. But
I don't understand why we're looking at it.
You're right. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Why are we even looking at it? You know, I mean.
They're both automotive users.
Now, I can see us having to change the driveway.
And that's perfectly fine. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, he would have to have a business permit. I mean, if anything's needed, right?
Well, and I think basically the other business is a heating and air conditioning business. I didn't know if the Planning Commission, like I said, nothing was really said during the pre-application hearing.
Originally, I believe it was a body shop. It has been a number of times.
Yeah,
it was a body shop.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make any difference. I mean, commercial is commercial. I mean, as far as we're concerned.
I don't have a problem with it.
Mm-mm. I got one.
I think that we need to get road and bridge involved and see if there's a driveway change. And
it would need an upgrade if you can use that as commercial.
Yeah.
Nobody's
yeah.
really been
yeah.
using that driveway.
But that's really it.
Reason
sure.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. But I mean, that's really, I mean,
Bob, what
Whatever.
Do you think? We don't want to do, we don't want to change ourselves in the middle of the stream, but I,
yeah.
you know, since it's commercial, it's commercial.
Well, and I've always struggled with that. I've got one under old new business that I was going to bring to the
Planning Commission
for that exact reason.
Well,
we looked at it before, and even the not trash place, but the place that does the cans and all that.
Yeah.
Just south of Hollister. It's commercial. You know, we talked about it. Commercial's commercial.
I've just not known how this group looks at it. If they look at it as a new use,
yeah.
like I said, I don't know.
It's not always.
I've seen a lot of them. It's a judgment call to me.
I got one question first. Will he have to have a Division II permit to put that office building in?
My feeling, and this is something that we had actually debated in-house, this is what's strange on Division I permits. It only requires a permit if it's 100 square feet or larger.
That's right. The office building's only 8 by 10. He can set it out there if he wants to.
But on
he doesn't even need a building permit.
But on Division II permits, it doesn't really specify a size, so we felt like it was safest to require a Division II.
Well,
really, about the only thing he would need to do is improve that entrance where the people are coming in.
Yeah.
And is there a culvert there now? Do you know, Randy?
Yes, sir. There is. I
so you basically just have to join the culvert, and it shouldn't be much expense at all. Backhoe, dig it out, pop it in there.
Put another one in, or
just add 10 foot to it, or
two loads.
Sure.
We'll meet with him.
Rick, before we add anything, do you want to figure out any signs?
The gentleman wanted to talk, I believe.
Yeah, I think there's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's one person.
We haven't decided anything, but I think we ought to be looking at a special use permit instead of
exactly.
I mean, it's commercial.
How long was this other operation?
The Harris Mechanical, sir?
No, before that. When was that building built?
I don't know when the building was built.
20 years ago, easy.
Early.
Well, when Manley moved from up on the hill there, and that was when OREMA took over Birmingham Road property.
My question is, was it before we had planning and zoning?
I remember I spoke against that in front of the planning commission back then. Didn't do me good.
That building was built in the late 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The oldest son had when they shut the other man shop.
We poured the concrete on.
So the whole piece of property was Division III structure. I think we need to look at a special use permit for this particular business. If anything.
Okay.
And he may not, does he need anything? Bob, you're...
I'm going to leave that call to the planning commission. I mean, I really
think... I would say he would...
It about need to be on record, wouldn't it?
Almost,
I don't know. I got fired off here one time when a commissioner asked me about a project about like this, and I said, well, I've seen him go both ways, and he boiled up and left for
it. Well, we got to have a steady...
Yeah, you need to keep consistent, but there's some of these are just... They're borderline. I mean, it's a judgment call. I don't care who you are.
He's changing the commercial use of it because he's putting in a different driveway. I mean, he's using a different driveway, which doesn't meet the spec.
Well, it may have met it at the time it was built.
Well, in that case, put it under a special use permit, and we'll vote on it next week. Say yay or nay.
Yep.
That's all I mean.
So are we going to have to look at it at every project that changes business? I mean, if they move in and out on a rental building, is it going to be one of those same circumstances?
I've got a question. Can we research the original one on that piece of property? Because the main access was from the highway. I think that side driveway was put in as an afterthought.
I think
we
you're
didn't
right.
have any regulations about any driveway. That's how come it's narrow. And I don't know if it really was designed to have access off that county road. The rest of that down there on that county road is all residential.
I think you're right. That's what happened behind there on the county road. Just something kind of happened.
It just happened. Now we're changing. Now we're bringing commercial off mm-hmm. the Delaware. That's changing the whole aspect.
Yeah. That's true. Do you have a problem with a special use permit? And then we just vote on it, and, yeah. You tell him what kind of driveway we put in.
Then it is regulated.
And it's regulated, yes. Then.
Okay.
So I do too.
But we need to think about that because, I mean, there's lots of buildings just like that one right there. Does he have a special use permit for Harris Mechanical changing from a body shop like it was last time?
I don't disagree.
Well, does he?
I not that I'm aware of, no.
So.
Yeah. What should he have to do?
Well, because of the entrance. I mean, Randy's absolutely right.
Basically, you've got one different commercial going in there from one business. I don't see that because that was a commercial piece of property. Now we're allowing to add two commercial on one property.
Well, it's just like a grocery store parking lot with a barbecue deal sitting in the front or a fireworks stand. It's commercial.
Right.
Yeah. And like I said, I've actually got another scenario later that's very similar.
So okay. What do you feel, sir?
I feel like it should be a special. That's why I brought it up. Why are we messing with it?
So
anyway, we're going to change this to special use.
Okay.
So we've got more control.
Okay.
And the basic thing you'll have to do is just get him to approve the driveway.
Okay. Sounds great.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, go ahead and have a seat there. Mike is signed up. What's your last name, Mike?
Mike Fulton.
Fulton.
One of these nights, I'm going to be first. Because I didn't see, who's that surveyor here? Wolf. He wasn't here tonight. I thought, man, this is going to be quick. Because usually it's hours with him. My biggest concern is, I don't know that was ever, the initial Manley's Body Shop was never brought in compliance. I fought with them. I used to own the property right behind there. I chose to sell it because it was such a mess. I mean, I'm just fuming now, just talking about it. The fence was never put up. If you draw the original thing that you guys approved, the fence, and Rodney Daniels was in office at the time, and he said it wasn't worth going after them because you can't actually, once their business permit is issued, you can't really shut them down. You can't bring them into compliance. You can write them nasty letters all day long. That's never been brought up. I don't know when that all went commercial because I never got a notice. And I've lived down that road for 17 years. I own three houses down there. And I don't know, you know, when it all went commercial, because if you look at the original one, the one back originally, that shows that property right there with a fence all the way around it. There's never been a fence put up, but there's a lot of junk cars. And has anybody ever heard of Ballnobber Spring? Anybody read that book? Who's from here? Anybody?
I'm
from here, surely.
I'm from here.
Yeah, right here's Ballnobber Spring. And in the original planning and zoning, I don't think they were allowed to clear within 100 feet of that or something like that. And Manley would actually go out there at 2 o'clock in the morning with a dozer and dozed all that property off without a permit. And I know, you know, they say it's his own commercial, but I don't want him coming off. This is my concerns. I'll get to my wife, so she's having to work the school thing. I don't want that there. I mean, do you guys want me to put a car lot down your street? I don't want it on my street. If he wants to use the entrance to Harris and put a fence up on Delaware to block it, hey, more power to you. And you guys were also the ones that approved a 35,000-gallon propane tank to be sitting right there next to my house after 9/11. And that's one reason we sold. I mean, now my wife's concern is if everybody's ever seen that corner right there, I know you drive an SUV or something tall. If you drive a regular car, you are taking your life in your own hands when you turn off that road. Somebody mowed it. Never gets mowed, but some miraculously this week since there's a meeting, that curve got mowed. Usually it's tall. The county doesn't maintain it. They maintain the ditch. And for some reason, coming off that road to Delaware, you can't see. I drive a pickup, so it doesn't bother me. I don't notice it unless I'm in my wife's car. But if you're driving a car, we don't need any more traffic down that road, believe me. We have plenty. And it's narrow as can be. Two school buses cannot go down that road. But I'm asking you, if you're going to approve it, make him use that other driveway. And I don't believe that culvert was ever permitted. I believe Manley threw that in there to get into his property on the back side.
I think at the time they didn't have any rules on culverts.
Yeah, you just throw them in and drive. But I would like to see it brought up to compliance. I mean, it was never brought into compliance to begin with. I mean, if you look at the original, it was never brought in. And so now we're going to let somebody else come in there, put a car lot. I mean, come on. Guys, have you seen Kirbyville? It's the trashiest place there is. It is. I mean, just go a block to the left. Just start looking right there to the left. Harris, I love them. They came in and cleaned it up. They don't cut their grass. But at least they got rid of all the junk. You know? And one thing is, if he's going to wash cars on site, that spring right there, if anybody reads on the ball knobbers, that spring is mentioned in the book. And it is there, and it was in the original thing to stay away from it. And I'm done venting. Thank you, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, and it used to run real good until he took it over close to it.
Okay. Utility bid.
Are we closing the public hearing?
Yes.
Okay. got a couple of quick items. The first thing is I passed out a copy of some correspondence from the county attorney, actually in Christian County, about some new legislation. I think Ray Edwards had actually brought this to my attention. There's new legislation on cell phone towers and what can be regulated and what can't be regulated. And we'll actually be having a cell phone tower request this next month, and so I just thought it would be behoove me to get that information out to everybody.
Okay.
The biggest thing is we can't really, a local jurisdiction can't really ask them the reasoning for making a business decision. You can't really ask, is this needed? It's just strictly got to be a land use decision, which I think most of the time it really is anyway, is an appropriate use for a particular piece of property. But in that letter, he does a really good job really explaining what all is in that new law.
Was you through?
I don't
mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, go ahead.
There's a judge. I think he's in Kansas City, but there's a judge that has ruled, has put that on hold.
Hmm.
And that's not enforceable as of right now.
Okay.
And I don't know what's going to happen to it. But like you say, his opinion was that they couldn't do all the things that law allowed or prohibited from counties and cities and so forth, all the restrictions they're putting on. So right now, we're back to where we were before with the laws. Until that's worked out.
I'll definitely do some more research and bring that back to the group.
City of Independence, and I think Kirkwood over in San Luis,
okay,
and some other municipals filed that court case because it was a restriction on what they were able to do in their areas and what control they'd have. So there's no change on it right now.
Okay. And then the other item is it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. We've got a Division II application that came in, and we've got an existing heating and air conditioning business off of Bee Creek Road. They're wanting to construct a new 6,000 square foot building here. And it was my understanding initially that the new building would be an expansion of the heating and air conditioning business. But in speaking with him a little further, it's my understanding that half of the building will have four units in it. Two of the units will be, one unit will be warehousing for the existing business. One unit will be additional offices for the existing business, but two units are going to be leased out for rent to whatever commercial business moves in there.
would we view that one as a Division 3 permit? Is it a change of use? Or are we going to say, well, the whole lot is commercial and has been utilized as commercial, so it requires a Division 2 permit? Like I said, initially, it was my understanding that it was just an expansion of the existing business. But like I said, today...
I think off the top of my head, I think, that, yes, it's commercial. But I think it's one of those situations where it's commercial, and if they do any major changes like that, they have to bring it back before the commission. Now, that is really off the top of my head, but that's the way I'm looking at it.
That was my initial feel, but I sure wanted to bring it to the...
Yeah, they need to look into it a little more, but that's the way I
feel. Well, it definitely gives us more control, too.
Bob, we had some...
We have lots of projects out there where we have to...
We had some development out there where we permitted a guy to build some commercial buildings with not knowing who was going in there.
It's been done before, you're absolutely...
Yeah, it has been.
Because they're going to be for rent.
They were rented, some of them was rented, and some of them were sold.
Yeah.
There's a carpet shop in one of those right now. I don't remember what the others are, but that whole area right there, that guy developed that. We gave him permission to develop it, and I think it was the first one that I set on, where we always knew what was going in before we gave him permit.
Yeah.
I gave him the go-ahead on it.
And like I said, initially, we just viewed this one as an expansion because we were initially under the understanding that he was just building a new building to expand the existing business, and that's part of it. But he also wants the ability to bring in essentially two new businesses.
Well, they just go to the Board of Adjustments after us.
Well. Do they need anything once it is commercial?
That's what I...
Do they need just a...
I mean, the code book just talks about a change of use, but it doesn't really define what a change of use...
Well, he's building a big building, and he's putting it right in his parking lot. So, renting out other office spaces, we got to look at parking.
Well, absolutely, but you have to look at parking... Probably the worst case scenario, the most cars per square foot would be the way to look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like the new business on 76 East that they're building that two-story deal.
I mean, we don't know
how many parking spots they're going to need. Well,
and we don't know what's going in.
We don't know what's going in yet.
Yeah, we don't.
Or if ever there's anything other than storage in there. But we have to plan for the worst case scenario, which will require the most amount of cars per
unit,
or however we figure that.
Well, and that is one thing. Initially, we were under the understanding that it was just going to be all warehouse space, and so we weren't thinking that he was going to need a great deal of parking. And then,
but if it's going to be a rental like that, like you're saying, we've got to look at the worst case scenario and decide that
cars per parking spot
or cars needed or spots needed for.
But you'd have to look at the. Do you have the original permit on file where you can look at it and say what they asked for? Because there's a lot of them we have done where they ask for this building or that building, and then if you do any more, and I don't know whether it's...
This one...
I see you're grinning. You don't have that.
This one dates back to about 85, and we can't actually find a permit.
And that's another thing. Rules and regulations have changed over the years.
Yeah, and he's changing it today, though, so he's going to have to come under today's regulations.
He's got to deal with today's rules and regulations.
And here we go again. Entrance. Randy's going to have to go out there and look at that and see. And that is right on the corner.
That's a mess there.
Well, that's a mess.
Of course, all of Big Creek is a mixed up hodgepodge of business and... Yeah, residential.
And I mean
it's a whole,
like I said, essentially the new building will sit kind of at that angle. You know, it'll sit at the same angle essentially as this portion of the road.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's basically going to be a new structure sitting somewhat like that. And
do you think we might possibly hear from our apartment owners again?
Is that part of their apartment right there?
Well, there is a high probability. The other proposal.
Ain't that them right there?
Yeah, the other proposal's right
down
here.
The street.
I mean, they had joined that.
Well, and that was another
That's
consideration.
That's why I made that statement on parking spots. On him.
Well, and that was another reason for me asking the Planning Commission if we felt that this was a Division 2 or Division 3. I felt that there would probably be a potentially a large outcry if it was permitted as a Division 2. It is. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what I was thinking. I wondered in this instance if I didn't know if the
well,
I felt the commission
ranch over four cars
would could possibly vote on this and just make a determination as a group whether
I personally would like to see if they're going to build a building that size. I'd like to see
it. It needs to be a Division 3, and especially since we cannot find and he probably cannot supply a permit or anything that was done back then.
If he has anything that says the contrary, he'll be whooping it on us.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll make him come to milk with it one way or another.
That's right.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I believe you're
Is that right. kind of the consensus? I mean,
yeah.
Whatever you guys want
to
do, I mean.
So we need to vote on this now, or what are you talking about?
Well, we just wanted a decision as far as, you know, if this would be viewed as a Division 3 or a Division 2,
it would
basically.
Not be an official vote. It would be a consensus of the commission.
And I don't have an issue with that either.
Whatever that is.
Exactly.
Who's the one always complaining?
Exactly.
Right?
I don't have a...
In this particular instance...
He wants to bring that to us, or he can do that in-house.
Well, in this particular instance, at this project, I think we need to look at it as a Division 3.
Here we go again.
6 feet.
I mean... But we're building a huge building.
And there are some judgment calls.
And we don't know what those are going to be.
Yeah.
So we need to look at it. Parking spots was brought up. I mean, it's kind of the worst case scenario. I mean, whether it's going to be 1.5 cars or 2 cars. We've got to decide that. And like Bonita said, if this building takes up more of that property than it leaves for parking spot use to service it, what do we got?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to have a little control. That was my concern about the property, the two-story property that we voted on last month on 76.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And they said, it's not going to be this, not going to be. Well, we don't know that, though.
Exactly, and I had the
same
concern.
And then they sell
the
whole thing out as soon as it's built, then what's it going to be?
That's right.
You don't know.
And no control at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I make that motion.
I believe there is a consensus.
Do we have a consensus? Okay.
We don't know what it is, but...
Well, we need to look at this particular
We've
project.
We've got a consensus. Don't get picky here.
Sorry, I didn't interrupt. I just wanted to do the right steps. Do I need to come back next week?
Well, basically, if we're viewing his as a special use permit... And so you would just come back. It essentially requires the same process. The key difference is that a special use permit is just issued to the applicant, and it's not transferable.
Okay. And I think we'd all feel comfortable if you would get with Randy or somebody from the county and go out there and look at the entrance, and so we'll know what you have found out there and what we're looking at on that.
Okay.
We'd be a little better informed, hopefully, and make a better decision.
I think you ought to also look at, as far as I'm concerned, entering from 76.
Okay.
If that would cause any confusion or if that would be okay with everybody concerned.
Well, Harris Mechanical mainly just has work vehicles going in and out of there. It's not a...
Well, this is a part-time car lot that's going to have 6 cars a day probably going in.
Well, I know, but I mean, there's not a heavy use... In the hair
on the driveway.
So it's not going to interfere with their use.
Yeah, that
is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, and if you do that, then you don't have to worry about the pipe in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you don't have to worry about your neighbors.
It'd make Mike a little happier.
And I wanted to, I forgot about to tell a gentleman that, and sometimes people don't understand that we have absolutely no enforcement. That goes through other divisions of the government of the county. And we don't go out there and run them down.
Thank you, sir.
I make a motion we go and go.
Hey, can I go too?
Second it.
Raise your hand.
Meeting adjourned.
Yeah.